fire. Some through the flood. Some through the waters. We're all saved by the blood. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. If you want to stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. We live in a country where the Word of God seems to not matter no more, but I'm glad I'm in a church this morning where the Word of God does matter. Matter of fact, that's really all that does really matter. It's what God has said about the situation. See, it don't matter what me and you say about it. There's been some things that I really wasn't glad when I found it in the Word of God. Said, don't matter what Papa said, does it line up with the Bible? Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Spirit of God in our church this morning. We thank you, Lord, how our hearts have been touched. Thank you, Lord, for the wind of God that's blowed across me this morning. Now I pray that you'd let preaching be easy. Would you bring the things to my mind that I've studied? And God, the things that I need to be minded of that I've not studied, I pray that you'd help me today. Lord, I pray, could I be a vessel, Lord, that could be an encouragement and a help to the people of God today? And I ask you now to help me, because I sure am a needy preacher this morning. Touch families, touch lives, and we'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, you'll notice in Genesis 2:21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. Took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now turn with me, if you would, today over in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. I want to ask this question as I start this sermon. If Satan was after Eve, I wonder, is he after your wife? You'll notice soon as God initiated this family home, this family unit, and by the way, it's always been a man and a woman, and God ain't changed His mind about none of that. He brought them together, and Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He said, now we're going to cleave to one another, be made one. That word has to do as a welder, as he puts two pieces of metal together. One overlaps the other, and the other, and they're bonded together, and they're made one. Matter of fact, many times the metal will tear, but the weld will hold. And so God initiated the family unit, and look what the devil did. And did anybody tell you that the devil's a busy devil? And can I tell you that he don't feel too intimidated by me and you? The devil's not in the phone booth dialing 911. That was the craziest person that ever come up with that song. The devil's not dialing 911 in a phone booth, friend. He's after mining your house. I wish he was in the phone booth. But I tell you where the devil's at. He's at your house, my house, and the church house. Now, notice Peter. Peter was a man, he was a fisherman. Peter was a man, if you shook hands with him, you'd sort of say, lighten up a little bit, you just about broke my hand last Sunday, don't do it this Sunday. Peter was a weathered type man. He didn't take many people for prisoner. But he was an outdoorsman. Now, isn't it amazing? In his later years, God used this man to pin something down about the home. I'm convinced of this. You can't tell me much till you've wore that T-shirt. Don't tell me how to raise kids till you've tried it yourself. Don't tell me how to handle a wife till you've tried it yourself. Don't tell me how to preach till you've tried it a few years yourself. Now, he said this, so he must have knew what he was talking about. He said in verse number 7, I'm going to be dealing with the men again this morning in the order of the home, part number 2. I couldn't get it all said last Sunday, so it's sort of many times I'm just going to cut it off where I can. But notice this, Peter says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life. Watch this, that your prayers be not hindered. Our home affects many things, but it affects our prayer life. It affects our children. It affects our church. As I've said many Sundays, our church is only going to be as strong as what our homes are. Our nation is only going to be as strong as our homes are. And that's what really troubles me for a generation that's coming after me, the destruction and the deterioration of the homes in America. Satan's after the livelihood of the homes. So therefore, Peter is writing, and I want to give you just a few thoughts this morning, and then I'll be done with the message on the order of the home number 2. Now, first of all, according to this verse that Peter wrote, he said, likewise, ye husbands. That word husband, it means a band. The husband simply to band that home together. And if your home is falling apart, sir, I can tell you where probably the problem's at. It's in the husband role. We are to be a band that holds things together. Now, if you take a load of lumber and you go from Ranburn, Alabama to Carrollton, Georgia, and you don't strap it down with a band, you're going to lose some of it on the way. Because there's a lot of bumps between here and Carroll. Can I tell you, in a marriage, there are a lot of bumps going to hit you married. And you better have some things strapped down, sir, that you can strap down yourself. Now notice, first of all, this word husband has to do with leadership. And we as a husband ought to learn to lead our wife. Now some of you ladies, you're caught up in that women's lib and you think I'm a wife basher. I'm not. Hey, God has put glory to your office and has held you to high esteem. But I don't believe that you belong in a Learjet. I don't believe you belong in a foxhole fighting our battles in America. I believe the lady's place is to be a wife with her husband, to rear her children and see about her home, and be a blessing in that environment. Now, I know many work, and that's good and fine, but wherever you are, conduct yourself as a lady, amen. And so this morning we find this husband, he starts out. He says that, likewise, ye husbands. Now, we ought to lead our wife. It has to do with this responsibility of banding things together. I want to say, first of all, we ought to lead our wife in direction. Leadership always has to do with direction. Sir, ma'am, I'll get to you in a few Sundays, but right now, we got him on the cook stove. We got me on the cook stove. I want to ask something. We're going to lead. Don't that have to do with direction? What kind of direction are you giving your family this morning? You know, I'm reminded, we love this verse, man. We love to pull this verse out like a pocket knife on our wives a lot of times. And we try to tell them what the book says. So let's see what the book says. He says this. He says in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife. even as Christ is the head of the church, He is the Savior of the body. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Probably the strongest verses, some that are in the Bible. But first of all, the husband has to do with a man. We ought to be leading our family. We ought to learn to lead our wife, our children, our home. It has to do with direction. I want to say this, Daddy. You ought to be leading where they go. They ought to be leading when they go. How they go. And who they go with. You see, I think the husband needs to learn to lead his wife. The reason some of you wives lead your husband because you've got a husband that's weak in leadership. And you can take a survey. Any lady that has a husband weak in leadership, she feels very insecure. Now, we need to be strong leaders. Now, are we to knock somebody down? No, we're to lead by example. Don't use this right here. This is a cheap cop out. Don't do as I do. Do as I say do. Well, that's crazy. Because they're watching what me and you do. And it does matter what we do. And we ought to be leading in a direction about where we go. Sir, are you leading them to church or is she leading you to church? Now, I'm going to tell you something that I wish I hadn't found in the Bible. But we're going to give an account for our home, men. We're going to give... God has established us as the head. As Christ is head of the church, the man is head of the home. And we're going to give an account at the judgment bar of God about our leadership. Now, I want to ask you something. And I'm not scalding you high this morning. I understand what thus saith the Word of God. You need to step up in some leadership. And you need to give your family some direction. Hey, it's not the school system's responsibility to give your family direction. Their hands are tied. They can't even hardly mention Jesus in a public school. They can't even lead your children to prayer in a classroom format anymore. So it is your God-given responsibility to give direction to your family. Now I want to ask you something. Is your family more important than a ball field? Is it more important than a movie theater? I realize that every family needs vacation. We all need time. We need good quality family time. But let me ask you something. When things have the lead in front of Jesus, your things are out of place. Many times when people start getting this Bible and living, God starts blessing. If you're not careful, you'll get all your blessings out of order. God's blessed you with a boat, so it takes Sunday to go enjoy it. God didn't give you that to get you out of the house of God. God might have given you great talent to play golf, but He didn't give you that talent to stay out of church with it. So we've got to keep our first and our second. Now, we must lead our wife if we're going to be the head. It has to do with leadership. Here's Peter's writing. He says that, I want you to understand that as a husband, you have to have leadership qualities. Now, we must lead in direction. Number two, we ought to lead in discussion. Sir, you know one of the greatest days in my life when I realized my wife was a smart lady. But I didn't like her to tell me nothing, you know, because I'm the boy dog. Any y'all live with a boy dog? You know, you don't know. I remember when the ministry was first starting, there were some things, and I'd asked her, and she said, well, what about this? What it was is God talking through her. But I didn't want to hear none of that. I'm the man. I'm the head. You stay over there and be quiet. Well, you're missing out on something. Because if we would God give us two of these and one of these, and we would apply these, we may find out something we didn't know about. Go ahead and punch him, lady, in the ribs. It'll be okay, sort of. Give him a little loving nudge this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to lead in direction. We ought to lead in discussion. Proverbs chapter number 11. I want to say this to the young men this morning and quickly pass it on. But Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But watch this. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's nothing wrong with getting input from wise people. If I was going to go to a construction site, then I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't go to a school teacher to ask them how to build a building. I'd go to a builder. And some of you young men that's having problems in your home, I would talk with some men that's done wore that T-shirt and done there and done that. You say, well, I can figure all that out by myself. I'm just trying to save you some hide and some money and some time and a bunch of heartache. Now, let me ask you something. If she was brought from our side, shouldn't she have a right to discuss things with us? Many times I've said, honey, what about this? Matter of fact, there's been times I've not made the decision till I could get home and say, what about this? Tell me what you think. And this is what I love about my wife. She don't tell me what I want to hear. You ever notice that you're drawn to people that tell you what you want to hear, but you really don't like a preacher tell you what you don't want to hear? You know, tickling ears. Tell me something good, preacher. Tell me something good. Well, it ain't a lot of good to tell about us if we're going to line it up to that book right there. He said there's none good, no, not one. But inputs, we need input. Listen to me. Thank God for counseling. I'm glad I've got 8 men in the leadership role in this ministry that I can get counsel from. Thank God I've got men scattered across this building that I can get counsel from. Thank God I've got some church mothers I can get some counsel from. You say, now why would you do that? Well, before I make a decision that has to do with all the young ladies of this ministry, I might want to ask a few church mothers what they think about it. Listen to me, you can't get too much counsel. Listen. Just because you're getting counsel don't mean you're weak. It may mean that you're wise. And so we ought to lead in direction. We ought to lead in discussion. And then we ought to lead in decision. We ought to step up. Now, I can say this. Most of the time, a bossy wife usually means a failing husband. A bossy wife most of the time means a failing husband. See, sir, if you'd make the decision, she wouldn't have to. I'll move on. I didn't get many amens there. You say, well, now my wife, she's in this gear like me. Well, she's going to have to learn to submit to God's authority. That'd be another sermon. Be sure you have her here that day, sir. But you know, it comes a time when you've got to make a decision what's good. And let me tell you how you make a decision. The decisions men you ought to be making ought to line up right here this morning. It's not what they say. It's not what the in-laws say, and it is important what they think and what they do. But let me tell you, ultimately, it don't matter. It's what this book says this morning. And not any book, a King James Bible. It's what it said. Now, the order of the home is, I believe, that we ought to lead our wife. We ought to lead our family. Boy, how we need great. You know what's wrong with our nation is leadership. Ed, you listen to me. Every ministry, every nation, every home rises or falls on leadership. We need strong leaders in America. It scares me that me and my wife went to Taco Bell at 9 o'clock Friday night. Has anybody been to Taco Bell at 9 o'clock lately on Friday night? It scares me who would be protecting our country if war broke out in this nation. It scares me. Boys got rings in their nose and their lips, and my goodness, if they'd get in a foxhole, they'd get that ring caught in the bush, and there ain't no way they could get up and do nothing. And the other crowd's got their britches hanging down off their backside. And who in the world can fire a gun with both hands on their britches? The hat sideways. Got music blaring. They can't hear their name. They coming out like this. It's scary. Oh, it's so scary. So you got to make a decision. A bossy wife usually means a failing husband. Step up and make decisions. Now I want to say this about this discussion because I wrote this down. I had a good thought. And I don't want to bypass this in my notes because it does good to mention today. But do you remember where I read to you where the lady was taken from the man from his side? Well, let me tell you something. In discussion, it does not mean that she'll always be right, but it means that she'll always be a woman. And she was taken from the side, so listen to her side of the view. My wife's always got a side of the view. That's where she come from. She has that right to give you her side of it. Now, we must learn to lead our wife in direction and discussion and decision. And then fourthly, we must lead by discipline. Discipline lives. That's what we're missing many times in our home. Sir, you need to have some discipline about you. Now, you knew yesterday, when you got up yesterday, in case of something that we did not see, you knew we'd have service here Sunday. You knew it was the Lord's Day. We should never be late to the house of God. Never should we be late. We must step up and we must practice discipline. Now, I'm not whining. I'm just telling you how it is this morning. I think I got to sleep somewhere between 3:30 and quarter to 4. Well, I woke up at a quarter to 9. I had two options. One, to stay at home, or one, get my stuff together and get where I'm supposed to be. Because I sure have got a blessing for getting here. Have you noticed the devil will never encourage you getting to church, sir? Why does the devil fight so much on Sunday morning? A light ought to come on saying, I'm fixing to get what I need for my family if I can just get us there. I mean, you get there and there's two women in the mirror trying to get ready. There's three women. I mean, the iron shot, the TVs went out, the airs went off. You walk out and the youngins is late, you've left the diaper bag, the car seat won't work, the wind is down, it's raining. Ain't it amazing all this happens on Sunday? And you slam every window out of the pickup truck getting here, and you walk up on the parking lot and you say, how y'all doing this morning? How y'all doing today? And then we walk in, we got all that bitterness going in us when we know yesterday we're supposed to be here today. Help me now. Help me preach this. Help me preach this morning. Boy, we ought to have discipline. I can tell you one thing. I bet your youngins ain't late for ball practice much. I bet they not late for dance practice much. I wonder how many's ever went and bought a ticket to the movies and it done started an hour. I've seen all over Facebook. I got a Facebook just so I can see what our members do. 4th of July is raining. Nobody could be at the grill. Everybody was down yonder in Kelton at the movie hangout buying a $4 Coca-Cola. Who would ever thought Coca-Cola would be higher than gasoline? And that buttered popcorn. Somebody say amen right there. We best go to the house sooner than y'all think. Everybody was there, but you know what? You got there early. Because you wanted to get there when it started. hey guys, get some discipline about you. Your children is going to practice what you do. If you listen to me, listen, I'm helping you. I know you don't like it, but I'm helping you. If you raise your children to hit or miss church, they're going to hit or miss church when they get up. They say, well, Mom and Daddy raised me that way. That's the way we do things. We need discipline. Did anybody tell y'all we got church here on Sunday night? What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't challenge you? What kind of preacher would I be if I see 12 pews open on Sunday night and that not bother me? You ain't got a wimp, you got a preacher. You ain't got an English teacher, you got a preacher. So quit critiquing me on my vernacular. We need discipline. Discipline. We ought to be teaching our children discipline. Let me ask you this, Daddy. If there was a survey of time in the book and time on the screen this week, which one would outweigh the other? I ain't even got to ask that question. And if the time, let me ask you this, the time in your altar had to do with time on your cell phone, which one would win out? We need discipline. And we need somebody to put it right in front of our face to make us realize, I need discipline. Discipline never hurt nobody. It just made things better. We got people driving this ministry from Anniston, Alabama. I see a family here this morning from Jacksonville, Alabama. Now, they had to practice discipline to get here. And I can't express to you enough about discipline. I know we have jobs, I know we have projects, but let's say this. If Liberty Baptist Church was going to get gimmicky like a lot of places have and said we're going to give a new Benelli shotgun to every man that makes it to church 4 straight weeks, we better be contacting the Benelli rep. True. And ladies, let me go and get you right there. If we promised you a new coach pocketbook for 4 straight services, somebody better be going down there to the coach outlet. So I simply said all that to say this before I get to point number two. We do what we want to do many times. But can I ask you what's more important? Discipline and dedication, the house of God in your life and the things of God, or a Benelli or a coach pocketbook, which one is more important? Those things are not eternal things. They're going to burn up one day. What God is putting in you here is eternal works. Number two, not only should we lead our wife, where the husband has to do with banding things together as the head. Did you notice what he wrote in 1 Peter there? He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. This is where I'm going to plow them, and then we're going home. You ready? Not only should we lead our wife, but we ought to learn about our wife. Hey, ladies, say amen. That was so weak. You yell more than that at home. Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Learn your wife. Look what he says. He says simply this, dwell with them according to knowledge. Find out about her, sir. Isn't it amazing? Most men treat their wives like most men. But they're totally different. Can I give you something right quick as your preacher that'll help you right quick? Are you ready for the statement of the day? A woman don't forget nothing. They don't forget nothing. We go through Cedar Town, going to my parents, or we go that way preaching. There's a little cafe down there in Cedar Town across the railroad tracks, and Miss Renee says, I remember when I was 12 years old I was standing up in a chair in that lunchroom, and I remember that little red checkered dress I was wearing. I said, "My Lord, honey, I don't remember Cedartown, much less a red checkered dress." They remember everything. Don't forget nothing. And so we ought to learn something about them. Well, what should we be learning? Number one, we ought to learn about their emotional needs. They need attention. Could I ask you this? If we simply was going to buy a car and not maintain it, would we expect it to run well? There are some things that God has created in our wives that they need attention. You know how most marriages are broke up? Because the man failed to give her attention, and some Hollywood rascal come by and gave her attention and then messed everything up. You better pay some attention to your wife, sir. God has made them and their emotional needs. They need attention. And number two, they need affection. We run by sight. Well, Miss Renee walked in that door this morning. I said, "Hallelujah, girl. 33 years. Hallelujah." She put on a new little outfit last night. I went out there. She said, "Hun, how's this looking? Let me give you some good advice." She's not asking me my opinion. Say, "Darling, that looks wonderful. Just looks wonderful." Boy, we go by sight. They go by feeling, by touch. I noticed last night my wife just reached over there across pillow and hold my hand. That means a lot to her. Affection. You say, "I'm not in all that." Well, I'm just warning you. I'm just warning you, sir. She needs affection. You see, this thing about it. You want to run with the coon dog all night. You want to run with a bass boat all day. And you want to go out there with a football. Sort of like the man. He went to two football games on Saturday evening, watched two on Saturday night, two on Sunday evening. His wife walked in and said, "Am I not more important than a football?" And he said, "Well, I've not watched no basketball yet." You know what would be funny? If she come in there and put your trolling motor in the bed with you. That'd be so funny. As a matter of fact, I heard of a lady one time, her husband was so tuned into golf, she put the golf clubs in the bed with him. That's funny right there now. I like it, don't you? And this thing about, we run with the boys from 8 o'clock to midnight, and we walk in and say, "Well, honey, what's wrong with you? Well, honey, what's wrong with you? Why you got the poochy lips?" We ought to learn our wives, dwell with them according to knowledge. We ought to find out about their emotional needs. They need attention. They need affection. This is big with my wife. They need appreciation. They want to be appreciated. My wife's got a pet peeve, and I've got a few. This is what I do. I'll sit by my recliner, and I'll get me something to drink, and I'll set that empty glass there. And I'll leave it there, and I'll get up, and I'll take my popcorn bag to the counter, and the garbage can's under there, and I'll just put my popcorn bag on top of the counter, and then I go back there, and I go to bed, and I wake up in the morning, she's pouting a little bit. And I say, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "That garbage can was just 3 foot to where you laid that down at." And said, "Our end table's not the dishwasher, and your mama don't live here." Say amen. I'm talking about just appreciating her. Let me ask you something. She's mopped the floor. We come in,
out of the deer stand. We got on our Rockies, and they got them claws in the bottom full of all that mud. We just tracked right on in the house, and she's sitting there looking at you like,
we love to get our boats and deer stands and all of our hobby horses just right. What if they walked up in there and messed with all that? I wonder what we'd do.
Ladies, I need a raise this morning. Somebody needs to say amen in the house. We need to be appreciated.
We must learn about their emotional needs, about their enjoyment needs.
I want to say something. It does matter about her interests. Let her have some time to do what she wants to do. She don't need to be put in a corn crib with blinders on and a toe sack dress on with handcuffs. Let her be what God made her to be. My wife sort of got real social since she's quit work. She wants to go have these little dinner parties. Well, you know, now what's that cost? $7? Is that going to keep my marriage happy? That's worth more than $7. Some of you going to fuss if she had a gold Cadillac sitting in your driveway.
Amen.
We ought to learn about our wife and her enjoyment needs. Not only her emotional needs, but her enjoyment. What does she enjoy? What's her ambitions, goals? What's her feelings? I'm going to tell you a big thing that will help your marriage. Learn to adjust. I never could understand why my wife didn't want to fish. You know, my day with her, we went to West Point Lake. Fish was biting. I seen a big thunderstorm come up. And it dawned on me when it started raining, she didn't have a rain suit. You ever been with a subdivision girl in a thunderstorm with no rain suit? It ain't pretty. But that was my idea of us having a good time together. That ain't no good time with her. That was grueling. That was brutal. So what are you saying? Find out what she enjoys and do some things with her that she enjoys.
Well, this sermon's getting flatter. Learn your wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Wisdom. Man, come out of the box. Learn what your wife's telling you.
And you've got to learn to adjust and to adapt. God made her that way. You ain't going to change her.
Now, there's some bad habits, hon, you got that you could break. But we can't change our makeup. See, God made me one that needs to have an injection of Ritalin every Sunday morning. Some of you, you're just comatose. You're like, okay.
I can't make you act like you need Ritalin. God made you that way. So we've got to learn to adjust, to adapt to what God has sent our way.
Some of you say, I don't want another woman. I done got this one trained. Yeah, right. Y'all going to love this. This highlight of my sermon.
You see, not only to lead our wife and to learn our wife, we ought to learn about her emotional needs and her enjoyment needs, but thirdly, her encouraging needs. Our wives need to be encouraged. Have you ever tried to keep three children? I do pretty good with one. If they'll take long naps. Amen. My young'uns, they done that drop and run the other day. I mean, I'm going to get my young'uns a watch. Daddy, we'll be back at 2 o'clock. Me and Mom are ready to go to eat at 6. Hun, call the kids. See where they at. They got in. I said, I tell you what y'all need to do Monday morning. Y'all need to give y'all's babysitter a raise. Man, you got two tied up fighting over here. You got a dirty diaper going on over here. This one ain't happy with nothing. Let this toy down. They didn't want it, but when nothing picked it up, then they decided they wanted it back. Reminds me of Baptist church members. Now watch this. This true story really happened. Encouraging needs. My wife's people, she had a set of grandparents, and they loved to have people over and play Rook. You know, Brother Chuck, then Rook was a big game. They had them over Friday night, and this was the deal. When you come to have supper, you'd bring a dish, and they'd put their potluck together, and they'd have a good little meal, fellowship, and they'd play Rook. Well, her granny set the cornbread on the table, and the visiting man and woman was there at the table and got ready. So they had the blessing. And so passed the bread. Her granddaddy got the bread, passed it on around. He broke it up, tasted it. He looked at her and he said, Eunice, said a dog wouldn't eat this cornbread. She said, Hewley, I didn't make the cornbread. Brother David, that's something like me and you do. You know, me and you do that, Brother David. We'd do that. You ever said something wish you could slide right under? I mean, like you just trying to get it back, you know. I've said this a lot of times, and then. But it's so true, so true. My mama made biscuits with lard out in the country. We killed hogs. She could make the best biscuits known to man. I eat them every day of my life. I told Brother Tim, I didn't know how good they was till I left them. I'm just being honest. I moved to Georgia, married my wife, and was in our little single-wide trailer, just happy. She made our first meal. It was wonderful, you know, and man, I bit in that biscuit and it just fell all over my shirt. And I said, these ain't like my mama's biscuits. Did you know I eat out of a bag for 32 years? Did you know only this year she started making me biscuits again? She said, now, big boy, have you had enough yet? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You asked her, true story, ask her. She said, if you'd have kept that smart mouth closed, you'd have got them 30 years ago. I'm just trying to help you. You know, all these things are comical. And I know that preaching, a lot of times that things that are comical gets a point across. But let's get down to where we live. Are we really encouraging our wife? Is everything negative? When she sees you pull in the driveway, is she wondering what you're going to say next that's negative? Encourage her, fellas. She needs you to encourage her. Let me go and get this right quick. It's 11:45. This is where you'll get real smart mouth. Well, you don't look like you used to. Have you looked in the mirror lately, sir? That's enough said. Age is beauty. It ain't what's on the outside, fellas. They're a dime a dozen. But a wife that'll love you, raise your children, love you in spite of who you are, they sure do need some encouragement. I want to say this on special days. I don't do that. Well, probably her workmate does, and probably a blessing if you'd send her flowers sometime. When's the last time, instead of you getting a gun put in that cabinet that you've already got 15 of, when's the last time you brought her home something really nice, a surprise? Well, I done dug a well. I might as well just dig on in there a while. I mean, she's got feelings too. My wife don't work. She worked a long time. We don't have the money we used to have. But I got to thinking the other day, she don't have any income. It's up to me what I give to her. Wouldn't it be sort of selfish if I always had my best interest and not thinking about something that she would enjoy? I'm still your preacher and I ain't backing up on nothing I said. Lead your wife, learn your wife, love your wife. Look what he says right here. He says, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Sir, if you'd ever draw back to hit your wife, shame, shame on you. As Barney Fife says, shame, 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 shame on you, boy. Anybody whoop a woman, won't you pick some of these rednecks out around here? Don't you go up there and pop some of these boys these tattoos on upside the head? You feel so proud and so bold and so strong. No, don't do it in the church house. Love your wife. Look what it says out here now, and I'm done. Heirs together. The wife's the weaker vessel is being heirs together. I looked up that word heirs together. And it simply means to participate in common, a equality, a share in company with. Man, you've got to find something that you enjoy together and do it. She deserves what you deserve. She's to get what you get. I appreciate Brother Zach the other day. He come around. He come inside the door of the church. And he come in and he said, "Hey, preacher, why are you riding your wife around on them Maypops?" I said, "What you talking about?" "Getting up my stuff." "Preach them tires ball on her." I said, "I just put them on there 6 years ago." I looked, them things looked like top of my head out there. Well, I've done something about it. What are you saying? Man, we need to be doing what God's called us to do and loving our wives as ourselves. We'll let them ride anything, but our ride's got to be the best. The sermon's getting flatter and flatter. I appreciate the Word of God. I'll be honest with you, young men. We're going home. I'll be so honest with you. I wished, if I've got one regret in my life, I wished I could do with my wife. I wished I could start over today at 52 years old, married 33 years, and start to live our marriage again. How embarrassed I am in our early years of how self-centered I was. Miss Sherry, would you come play something for me this morning? Maybe be a dad here today. Maybe it be a husband here today that needs to make a commitment
Maybe they just need to get honest enough with themselves and with God and say, Lord, I need direction for my life. I need discipline. Lord, I've got slack in areas. Lord, realizing I need to lead my home. I need to be the husband that God intends me to be. And Lord, I sure do need to be a better leader. Lord, I need to love my wife, as you said, love the church. I need to get rid of some of this self-centeredness that I've got. And Lord, my eyes have been open to some things that I need to work on. And I want to ask you to give me grace to work on them. Miss Sherry plays, this altar's open this morning. I just asked you, would it be any daddies around the house, any young men, any older men? Maybe you want to bring your wife to that altar this morning. Just thank God for her. You say, preacher, I've done that the other Sunday. Well, let me ask you something. Would visiting an altar be too much in your life? Do you think that we could ever be concerned enough about our homes that we could ask God to give us direction about? Help me, Lord, to encourage my little old wife. Help me, Lord, to see the things that she enjoys that I could be a blessing to her. Help me, Lord, to lead my house in a way that you'd be pleased with. Help me. I sure do need you.